Microsoft Teams is helping a bicycle company reinvent the way that they work.
We make bicycles for everyday riders. Once the pandemic hit, we started doing virtual visits.
All of a sudden, we could open up our showroom to customers around the world.
Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Talk tight ends and defenses leading into week 4 of the NFL season. With me, as always, fresh off one of his many hits on other radio stations, he's a star in the making, a star already. Follow him on Twitter at Statsman22, my friend Paul Bruno. What's up, Paul?
Hey, truly a face made for radio, I guess. I'm not getting too many TV gigs. I'm a little upset with that.
Well, you know, we can't all be as pretty as me, Paul. That's sometimes just the way it works, you know? All right, but what we can do is we can help some people out with their FanDuel lineups this week. Paul has been white hot lately, so you definitely want to listen to what Paul has to say today. We're going to run down the tight end position first, and then we'll knock out the defenses for the week 4 slate, Paul. So why don't we jump right in, just looking at that top part of the tight end board to start out, those three players, 7,400 and above in Gronk, Reed, and Olsen. Are you taking a shot on any of those guys, or are you totally going value this week?
You know what? There's too much money invested in these tight ends, and I always seem to find value a little bit lower on the board. You can make a case for two of them for sure, and I'm leaving a third guy out that probably will surprise some of our listeners. I would rate Olsen the highest of the three, and that's what the way FanDuel has it. With 27 targets, he leads all tight ends. Right behind him, Jordan Reed is third in terms of targets, and they both produced consistently so far this season. And, of course, we have to talk about Gronkowski in New England, but who's going to throw him the ball? It might even be Julian Edelman, from what I'm hearing. Gronk played 14 snaps last week with no setbacks, and he's had some time to get more reps in at practice. He'll be a bigger factor, but I'm just concerned about who's going to throw him the ball, and that's why I'm going to stay off him this week.
Yeah, I agree. Olsen's the only one of these guys I consider playing. Obviously, the targets have been there. Great matchup against the Falcons, giving up the second most points to tight ends in fantasy, depending on the format you play in. I think the most, actually, in PPR formats. So that is certainly something to keep an eye on as well. But as we'll see here, I just think there's so many values later on in the tight end position this week where I can't see myself going high-priced in too many lineups, though I do think Olsen is certainly worth the price and fine play this week. All right, Paul, let's jump down a range, get to that 6,000 to 6,700 range here, as there's no one from 6,800 to 7,400. Paul, I notice a familiar name in this group.
I'm going to get to him in a second. let my pulse start to race a little bit in a minute. Travis Kelce is rated for $6,500. He's a good play this week. I like the matchup against a Pittsburgh team that was rather exposed defensively last week, don't you think, by your boys?
Yeah,
so I might be on him in this one. I like the matchup. But there's two other guys that I would rank higher. Jimmy Graham becoming more of a factor in the Seattle offense, as you might expect. He had 9 targets last week. And with the limitations on Russell Wilson in terms of a deep passing game, I think he's going to go more intermediate and looking for that security blanket in Seattle's offense. Jimmy Graham, a bigger factor this week than he has been all season, I believe. And finally, if there's a drum roll, you got to insert it here. Jason Witten of the Cowboys in against the 49ers. This is a tasty matchup for my guy. He has 20 targets on the season, was little used last week, but I think they're going to go to him early and often because there's a lot of doubt around Dez Bryant. I don't know if he's going to even show up for this game. You don't know where his head's at after all the rumors and stories we've heard. So Jay Witt's going to be a big factor for the Cowboys in this one, with or without Dez Bryant, I would say. But if he's without Bryant on the field, you're going to see a lot of targets go Jay Witt's way.
Yeah, and I mean, I know they're saying he might play, but you see the hairline fracture. It's just like Dez. Chillax, dude. You should not be playing, probably. But I'm actually going to agree with you on the man, Jason Witten, this week. I think he's a fantastic play this week at 6,000 against the San Francisco defense that we've seen has some holes. And obviously, he is Witten has seemed to be a security blanket of sorts for Prescott and has really helped out there. So totally agree. Love the Witten play at 6,000. Also agree with your Jimmy Graham call, who I'll be honest, I left him for dead between the injury and the lack of production in that offense last year. I thought Graham was a non-factor, but he looked really good last week and looks to be back on track. I don't know if I love him against this Jets defense, but certainly moving forward. And the other name I'll throw out here, and this is health dependent, if he plays, it's a nice matchup against the Colts for Julius Thomas at 6,000 as well. I would prefer Witten in my lineup, but I'd certainly take a shot on Thomas, especially in some tournament lineups. All right, Paul, let's get into the real value type of stuff here. How about this $5,000 range, and then we'll get to those deep, deep sleepers underneath. But is there anyone in the $5,000 to $5,900 range that jumps off the page?
Well, let's first of all discount Antonio Gates and Jordan Cameron, both of them dealing with issues of hamstring and concussion respectively. So don't go near those guys. I'll throw out
the Cameron is officially out already, and I agree. Yeah. It's very doubtful, it looks like, that even though Gates is questionable. I really don't think he plays.
Yeah, I like, though, instead, Eric Ebron. I think he's going to become a bigger factor in the Lions' offense, and that Chicago defense not very impressive, in my opinion. For $5,800, that's a good value play for a guy who's already had 20 targets come his way in three games. Kyle Rudolph is an interesting one in Minnesota against the Giants' defense. He's second in the league in targets at tight end, 25 throws going his way. That's a lot of targets for a guy who's priced this low. So just on volume, I like this a lot. Then I'll give you one more, and that's Colby Fleener. There's a pretty good quarterback who is pretty pass happy in New Orleans, and Fleener's becoming more and more of a favorite target. He's got 23 targets coming his way so far in three games. So those are a few guys that I like in this range.
Yeah, we talked before about the high price guys, and as much as I like Olsen, why I'm not paying up for those guys. And it's for this range of guys right here, as we discussed. I love the Kobe Fleener call. Finally got off the schneid, as it were, in the Monday night game against Atlanta. Had over 100 yards, a touchdown. And the targets had been there. So a nice matchup against San Diego. Love the price for Fleener. I think New Orleans is able to move the ball through the air pretty easily in Drew Brees' return to San Diego. Also like the Fleener call, decent matchup against the Giants. But there are two other names in this range that I like more. Dennis Pitta, again, at 5,400 against Oakland. Oakland has obviously struggled defending the pass this season, and Pitta has looked to be right back where he was with his buddy Joe Flacco in that connection. And then probably my favorite play of the day at tight end at 5,000 here is Zach Miller going up against that Detroit defense. Not only are the Lions, again, I guess in standard leagues, they're number one in points allowed to tight ends. In PPR, they're second. But we obviously saw Miller with the two touchdowns against your Dallas Cowboys. No, but
in a losing cause.
There you go. I knew that was coming. That's what I waited for. But you know, we saw that Miller had a nice connection with Hoyer. A lot of people liked Miller heading into the season, taking over for Bennett anyway. Finally saw him kind of bust out and develop that rapport with Hoyer. So in a great matchup at 5,000, potentially my favorite tight end on the board. All right, Paul, who are the lottery tickets who are going to pay off for people?
Well, Andrew Luck's another guy who likes to throw the ball, and one of his favorite targets in the early going is Jack Doyle. He's got 13 catches for 137 yards and two TDs. That's pretty good for a guy who's only priced at $4,800 with an interesting matchup, a pretty good one against Jacksonville. I don't think that's a very good defense over there. And then you mentioned Oakland. I'm going to say on the offensive side of the ball, Clive Walford is making a bit of a reputation for himself with 11 catches, 102 yards, and a TD against the Ravens defense. It's a pretty solid one, but maybe Walford shakes loose for a couple of long gainers in the short passing game there. And then finally, Vance McDonald. I'm going to go against my own Cowboys. This guy's listed as questionable, but if he plays, he might be a guy that takes advantage of a pretty weak Dallas secondary for $4,700.
Yeah, I like all those calls, especially the Walford call. But my favorite of the lottery ticket guys, we mentioned before, very, very unlikely Antonio Gates plays. I love Hunter Henry at 4,500 against that New Orleans defense. Anybody who watched that Atlanta game knows that New Orleans is the worst defense, at least that I've seen in the league so far this season. I mean, they were like knife through butter, just doing whatever they wanted. He's a big part of that offense, or the tight end is a big part of that offense. And I know that Henry had that crucial fumble at the end of the game there. But otherwise, I think he had, like, what, 6 for 67, had a decent game otherwise. And I think Rivers is going to go right back to him with Gates out. So I think he's my favorite value play for sure. All right, Paul, before we get into those defenses, let me remind all the fantasy football fans that football is back. And that means that FanDuel is back, and this year it's better than ever. It's not just a new season at FanDuel, it's a new era. They've upgraded their entire experience with real improvements for everyday fans, and they believe you deserve to experience everything sports has to offer, which makes you sports rich. Try the new FanDuel now. Just pick your team, stay under the salary cap, and have all the fun that fantasy has to offer. New to the game? Play in a beginner's contest to learn the ropes. If you have a dollar, there are games for just a dollar. There's 50-50 contests where the top half win cash, or you can even settle a score with FanDuel's brand new Friends Mode. It's season-long fantasy football with weekly teams, plus new features ensure a fair and level playing field. I said it yesterday, I've said it for weeks now, that, you know, season long is just a bummer, man. Like, people get hurt, teams change over, you don't, like, the draft, basically half the guys you draft aren't on your team by the end of the season, and you're winning titles with guys like Tim Hightower in your lineup. You know, that's no fun. This is fun because you can manage your money, look at the matchups, and make intelligent decisions each week. It gives you a real chance each week to really go out and make money and win and have fun while doing it, because you're not worried about, oh, that guy's injured, he's done for the year for me. That's not the same type of pain as you feel if you lose a guy for a week in FanDuel. So it's really just the way to do it in my mind now. So have all the fun that football has to offer, all the fun that fantasy football has to offer at FanDuel. Be sports rich. Plus, we have a special offer for new users. You can get a free 6-month RotoWire subscription with a $10 deposit on FanDuel. Go to FanDuel.com/RW. And not only do you get that free subscription, but you get to use that $10 on FanDuel. So it's a win-win. It's like you're literally getting it for free. It's over $40 in value for just $10. So go to FanDuel.com/RW. Paul, let's get into those defenses where sometimes make or break you. I won. This is not meant to be a shameless plug, but it is what it is. I won the RotoWire Staff Experts FanDuel League last week, and a big reason I won it was because the Minnesota defense gave me 25 points. So I sometimes find myself sliding in defenses based on price only, but you really have to remember what kind of value they can have. And obviously that Jets D won a lot, or excuse me, that Chiefs D against the Jets won a lot of people some money last week too. So Paul, let's try and help people with that this week. Let's take those top three defenses on the board to start: the 5,000, 5,200, 5,300, Seattle, Denver, Arizona in order. Are you starting any of those Ds this week?
I'm considering Arizona. This team needs a bounce back from last week. They play a heck of a lot better on home field, and they're facing the worst offense in football this week. They're the ninth ranked defense. So I like that disparity in their favor. And of the top tier, that's the only one that reaches me and says this might be a good play.
Yeah, I usually, even though I just said, you know, defense are important, but they are important to find the values. Minnesota was 4,400 last week and put up the 25-point day. So I don't know if there's the value here with these defenses at the top. I'd consider Seattle just because obviously Ryan Fitzpatrick, not the best right now, Paul. So anytime you can come with a badass defensive line going up against a quarterback who just came off 6 interceptions and a good secondary, I feel like that's a potential value, but I also think they're going to be highly owned. I think I'm going to be more likely in this next range here, Paul. So let's go from 49 to 45 here in some of these, you know, solid defenses, but a little bit more value here. Who's catching your eye?
I like the Houston Texans in this matchup against Tennessee. They're the fifth-ranked defense. I know they're taking a hit with J.J. Watt being sidelined, but there's still a lot of talent there, and Tennessee's offense not very good. So that's what I look at here. I look for the disparities between high-ranking defenses and low-ranking offenses, and considering that injury factor, I still like Houston in this particular range.
Oh, man, yeah. I hate that Tennessee offense, so I could do it, but losing J.J. Watt is such a killer. But
yeah,
sometimes teams, especially with a nice matchup, can bounce back and use that as motivation. I will signal out a Carolina at 4,800. I know Atlanta's offense has been really good so far, but I don't think they're as good as they've looked. They've played some really, really bad defenses. In fact, all three defenses they've played in Tampa Bay, Oakland, and New Orleans, at least so far, look like three of the worst in the league so far. So they're going up against a Carolina defense that's real and has played them well. So I think that's kind of a nice contrarian play based on how they've played. Minnesota against the Giants. The Giants offense has not looked that great at all. Just lost Shane Vereen. I kind of like that play as well, as Minnesota is straight legit, as I told you last week, and as I played them and won money on them last week. So don't sleep on how good that D is. And then, you know, I don't think I would roll with them, but New England at 4,500 is intriguing to me. That Buffalo offense obviously got going a little bit last week with the running game, but New England's D, I think, is a really good defense that has stepped up its game with Brady out, and I wouldn't be shocked to see that happen one more week. All right, Paul, let's get to the real values here, the where we're going to win leagues by finding a defense that someone can slide in with an ultra-powerful offense with lots of money spent. Well, what are you doing here, Paul?
Well, you mentioned the Giants-Minnesota game. I'm going to take the other side of that in this one. I'm looking at the Giants' defense against a really crummy Minnesota offense. Now, the Peterson situation factors in there, so I just don't think there's a lot of options for Minnesota offensively, and I think the Giants take advantage of that, put some pressure on, and for $4,400, I think that's a real good value play in this range.
There you go. I will give you two in this range, one at 44 and one at 43 is I don't love any of the real low-priced options this week, so I'm probably going to at least spend a little bit above that. The team at 4,400 is the Ravens. I know Oakland is a really good offense, but they only put up 17 points last week. It's not like they're a juggernaut of an offense. They're just a very good offense. So this Ravens D has proven to be really good against, granted, three bad offenses, but they've been good, and the front seven looks really good. So I'd be willing to take that as kind of a contrarian play, similar to that Minnesota call last week at 4,400. And I do think Minnesota's a better defense, but matching up against the Carolina offense that had just come off 46 in San Francisco, I think Minnesota was a bit of a contrarian play last week. I think Baltimore's similar this week. And then at 4,300, kind of a strange to even think about taking a defense against the Patriots. But as you mentioned, Paul, it could be Julian Edelman at quarterback. Now, I don't think that'll end up happening. I think whether it's Brissett or my guess is Brissett will be good to go, but we'll see how it kind of shakes out. But either way, that Buffalo defense looked inspired last week in Arizona. And, you know, with the firing of Greg Roman, who knows, maybe Rex has always been a player's coach. Maybe those guys are rallying around Rex. Either way, there is talent on that defense, and an injured Jacoby Brissett or who knows at quarterback, probably worth the upside at 4,300. All right, Paul, you will be on tomorrow, correct?
Yes, sir. Getting people ready. We're going to make our picks for the whole lineups top to bottom and put our money where our mouth is. Cashed last week and hope to do it again in the staff free roll.
I'm not surprised because you've been killing it on this podcast, Paul. So if you hadn't been killing it in the actual games you play, then you wouldn't be following your own advice, which would be hypocritical. And I know you're not a hypocrite. So
not at all.
Love it. All right. So hopefully we help some people out. Everyone, good luck this weekend. Tune in tomorrow for the RotoWire DFS podcast as Paul and Johnny McKex will bring it to you and give you some good action and get you set for heading into week 4 of the NFL slate. So again, for Paul Bruno, I'm James Seltzer. This has been the tight ends and defense week 4 preview of the RotoWire DFS podcast.
Napa know-how. A Napa guy knows that by the foot, there's no better ride than an old station wagon. Room for 6 people facing forward, 2 people facing backward, and a whole lot of luggage, lumber, and bicycles haphazardly strapped to the roof. If you can parallel park that beast, you can park anything. And with some quality parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep your land ship running longer, stronger. It's not obsolete. It's a rare treasure. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how.